me. How about, I was glad when they said unto me, amen, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm so glad to see each of you in the house of the Lord this morning. As Trey already said this morning, as I believe Tim said also, we want to welcome you all here to Waleska First Baptist Church. We're so glad you've all joined us for worship this morning. We have several visitors and special guests this morning. Listen, we are not just glad you're here, we're thrilled that you're here. We hope you will come back. So good to have some young people from Reinhardt University here. You guys may notice we don't have an abundance of young people here. I've got a solution for that. Next time when you come back, bring more with you, amen? Let's get them back. Please bring more with you when you come. We want to see more people in this church, and we especially like to see more young people in this church. And we're praying to God that He will bring them in and just welcome all of you here this morning. Now, you may have noticed today we have a slight change in our preaching schedule. Originally, I was not going to preach this morning. Craig Ward was supposed to continue the Right Start series here today. But Craig called me on Thursday, and they had a situation come up with a church in Marietta, and they asked Craig if he was available to come and preach, and they specifically wanted somebody who was on staff with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Well, that is Craig. He meets that criteria. So we worked it all out. I told Craig, yes, I was available to preach here this morning, and Craig is preaching today at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Marietta. Now, Craig was very apologetic, and he wanted me to tell you all that. He said, please, Jeff, tell him I'm sorry. We didn't plan on it this way, just the way things happened. But I assured Craig that that was okay. But he told me to let you all know he's looking forward to being back here the next two Sundays. At least that is the plan right now. And he's going to preach at least two more messages in the Right Start series for us. And that was a good message last Sunday, was it not? Now, I was not here, but I did get the opportunity to go back and listen on YouTube. And my message here today is going to be somewhat of a follow-up to Craig's message here last Sunday. Craig preached about prayer. This morning, I'm also going to preach about prayer. And then speaking of prayer, as I do often like to do before a message, there are several pastor friends of mine who are preaching at other churches that I want to pray for today. And in fact, I want to let you all know that last Sunday, as you all may recall, Lisa and I were not with you because I preached at First Baptist Church of Holly Springs. And as I began the message there last Sunday morning, I paused and I said, I want to take time and I want to pray for Waleska First Baptist Church. I did that last Sunday at Holly Springs from the pulpit. And I prayed for Craig Ward last Sunday. Speaking of Craig, I want us to pray for Craig Ward this morning at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Marietta, where he is preaching. Also want to mention two other dear friends. One is David Roper. David is preaching, speaking of First Baptist Holly Springs, that's where David Roper is preaching this morning. It will not surprise me if after church somebody here is going to come up to me and say, I also know David Roper. David is just a dear friend of mine. David grew up at Holly Springs Church. In the past, I know he pastored at Hickory Road Baptist Church. But David's just a special friend. If you do know David, or even if you don't, I'll just share. David is in a wheelchair. He's around 70 years old, I think. He lost his wife, Kathy, a couple years ago. And she was not only his life's companion, but also his caretaker. And I know it's been very hard on David. But everybody that knows David loves him so much. And I just want to pray for him this morning as he preaches for Holly Springs Baptist Church. And I want to pray for that church as they are also a church in transition. One other good friend of mine, you've heard me mention this name before, and that's Kevin Cantrell. And the reason I bring him up so much is every Sunday, Kevin tells me Sunday morning that he's praying for me as I'm preaching. So I want to reciprocate that favor and return those prayers to him. I know I've prayed for Kevin as he was preaching at Oak Grove in Adairsville. I've prayed for Kevin as he was preaching at New Hope Baptist in Canton. This morning, Kevin is preaching at Glade Baptist Church in Adairsville. I've never been there, don't know exactly where it is, but I know Kevin's preaching there. He's told me twice this morning. He told me on Facebook, he told me via text, praying for you, brother, so I am going to pray for him. So those three especially, when we have our prayer in just a moment, after we read our scripture text, I'm going to pray and I'll mention those three gentlemen. But as we do begin our message this morning, if you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be reading today from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, and we're going to read through verse 35. I know that's a little bit of a longer passage than we typically do, but and this is optional. But if you're able and if you'd like to, let's stand together as we partake of the word of our Lord this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. It says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he," and that's Jesus it's talking about, "he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us?' And they said, or the man said, 'I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Verse 25, it says, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately," it says, "his fame," again meaning Jesus, "spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Verse 29, it continues, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." And then listen to verse 35. We're going to focus a lot on this verse this morning. It says in verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Think about those words, "and there he prayed." Let us do the same. Father, we do lift our hearts in prayer this morning. Lord, we ask your blessings upon this service today. Lord, I want to thank you so much for all who have walked through these doors this morning. Father, I don't believe anyone is here by accident today. And I thank you for bringing people into your house to worship you here today. Father, I pray now that you draw us unto you and that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we need a word from you this morning. We need your touch here in our midst this morning. Father, I pray not only that you anoint my words here in this place, but I want to pray for my friends who are also preaching your word this morning. Lord, I want to lift up Craig Ward. I thank you for the message he brought here in this very pulpit last Sunday. And I want to pray for Craig Ward this morning as he preaches at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Marietta. Lord, I don't know the whole situation at that church, but Father, you know their need. And I just pray that you minister through Craig this morning, that you would speak your words through him, Lord, as he proclaims the gospel to that congregation at Elizabeth Baptist Church. Father, I want to pray for Holly Springs First Baptist this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to go and worship with them last Sunday, and I pray for that church. Father, I pray that you lead them and guide them in this time of transition. And right now, I want to specifically pray for my dear, sweet friend, David Roper. Father, I love him so much, and I just pray for him right now that you just Fill him with your words this morning. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit. May people be drawn unto Jesus Christ through the message that he brings there at Holly Springs today. Father, I want to thank you also for the friendship I have with Kevin Cantrell. Just become such a dear friend of mine over the last few months especially. And I thank you for the different pulpits that he's preached at. And this morning, preaching at the homecoming service for Glade Baptist Church in Adairsville. And I lift that church congregation to you. And I lift up Kevin to you, Father, that you would just anoint him and speak through him. And Father, again, I pray for your holy anointing here on this church. I thank you for Waleska First Baptist Church, and I just pray that you continue to have your hand of blessing upon this sweet body of believers here. And Father, that you guide this church, Lord, in the days to come, that we would always be a church that desires to seek you, a church that desires to serve you, and a church that desires to see Jesus lifted up in this place. And we know that Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he will draw people unto himself. And Father, that is our prayer, that we lift up Jesus here in this place, and that we see Jesus draw people in unto him. And it is in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, you may have noticed in your bulletin that the title of our message this morning is called The Priority of Prayer. The Priority of Prayer. And as I mentioned a few moments ago when we started, this message is somewhat of a follow-up to the message that Craig Ward shared with us last Sunday. And again, I was not here, but I had opportunity to go back and listen to Craig's message. And I do want to just very quickly remind you of some of the points that he brought forth here last Sunday morning. Now, Craig talked about a powerful prayer meeting in the days of the early church. And you may remember these three points from last Sunday. One is that the local church is important. You remember him saying that? The local church is important. Number two, prayer must be a priority. That's where I got the title for today's message. But number two of Craig's points, prayer must be a priority. And then number three, prayer brings powerful results. So remember, the local church is important. Prayer must be a priority, and prayer brings powerful results. Something else Craig said last week toward the end of the message is a powerful church is a praying church. And he also said the strongest weapon a Christian has is prayer. Craig Ward also reminded us last Sunday that being a church in transition, we need to commit to being a praying church here. And I want to carry on that same theme this morning as we talk about the priority of prayer. In our focus passage this morning from Mark chapter 1, we read verses 21 through verse 35. But the primary verse that I want us to pay the most attention to today is verse 35 of Mark chapter 1. That's the verse we concluded with just a moment ago. That is the verse which said, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." That's the main verse that I want to emphasize this morning, but we're going to work our way up to that verse. In fact, before we dig deep into that verse, let's first think about the kind of day that Jesus had in the previous verses. Now, prior to where we begin in verse 21, we see earlier in this same chapter, we didn't read all this, but we see that Jesus has just called his disciples to follow after him. In verses 16 through 20, Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, and then James and John to leave their fishing nets and to follow him in ministry. In fact, the words that Jesus spoke are, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so they did. Now think about those words together. Follow me, and they did. Now, Tim, there's a whole other sermon just in that phrase right there. not for today. We'll come back to that one Sunday. But let's continue today, going back to verse 21, again, still in Mark chapter 1, as Jesus and his new disciples have made their way into Capernaum. Now, I want us to notice in this passage what day it was. It specifically says that this was on the Sabbath day, which we know that the Jews observed as a day of worship, but also as a day of rest. And verse 21 says, on this particular Sabbath day, that Jesus and his disciples, they entered the synagogue and immediately. Now notice the use of that word. Immediately, Jesus began to teach. Now here in the synagogue were many worshipers. And I know that a few of them were probably likely there to sincerely worship. Now, I imagine there may have been some folks there who were just there out of duty or out of obligation. And also, very likely, there were some people present there who were only there to be seen by others. And they hopefully wanted to impress others with their public display of righteousness. But anyway, the place was full. So Jesus, our Savior, being the shepherd that he was, he sees all of this multitude needing to hear the word of life and the words of truth. So Jesus wastes no time in proclaiming to these people the oracles of God. It doesn't say that after sitting around for a while, or it doesn't say after waiting for the designated time in the order of worship. No, it says immediately Jesus began to teach. And then look at the results in verse 22. It says the people were astonished at his teachings. Some translations say amazed, because it says he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, the scribes, which they were accustomed to hearing, they didn't speak with the same boldness and the same authority as the people now were hearing in the voice of Jesus. And let me tell you what the difference was. When the Pharisees and the scribes spoke, they spoke only of ritualistic, legalistic, binding law without ever considering the love of God. But you know, there's a verse that we have in our New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13:1, which says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, it says, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And that's all the Pharisees and scribes did. They just made noise. They loved to talk about the scriptures, especially the thou shalt nots. And they were manically obsessed with pointing out to others, oh, how they themselves were adhering to all of it so much better than anyone else. But here was the problem. The Pharisees and scribes, they preached about God's word, whereas Jesus preached God's word. In fact, Jesus himself was the living word of God. I've heard it said the scribes and the Pharisees, they were bound by quotation marks because everything they did involved quoting but not living the scriptures. Everything they taught and did was bound by legalism with no grace, with no love, and with no joy. And the people in these days, they had grown accustomed to the lifeless, loveless, meaningless message that they would come and hear in the synagogue. But then, like refreshing water to a parched and dry desert, came the invigorating voice of Jesus Christ teaching them now about God. And he spoke with boldness. He spoke with authority. He spoke with passion. He spoke with conviction. And folks, he spoke with tenderness. And he spoke with love. And it says the people were astonished. They were amazed. And they said, no one has ever taught us like this before. But then about that time, we see a commotion brewing in verse 23. Look at what happened. Now we read this from the New King James, in which verse 23 begins with the word now. In other words, at that moment, at that time. Other translations I saw when I was studying this passage, they use the phrase just then. In other words, it was at the same time Jesus was teaching. In that same moment, there was a man in their midst who was possessed of a satanic spirit. Now, it does not tell us in the text how long this guy was present. I mean, he may have just wandered in at that very moment. Or perhaps he'd been sitting there for a while, but as Jesus boldly spoke of the awesome omnipotence and unfathomable grace of God, it suddenly became all this individual could stand, and he just could not keep quiet. He could bear it no more. So the evil spirit within this man cries out to Jesus and says, I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? And then he testifies of Jesus as being the Holy One of God. Now, this is another one of those situations that we could turn it into an entire sermon. This is deep. But we're going to save the heavy analysis of this demon-possessed man for another day. But let's just sum it all up by saying that Jesus, in his authoritative voice, he commands this evil spirit to be gone, and so the evil spirit departed. Now, needless to say, this caused quite a ruckus among the people. I mean, first they were amazed at his teachings, but now even a demonic spirit cannot abide being in the powerful presence of this one called Jesus. So Jesus speaks the word, and this spirit flees. Now, verse 28, we see a certain word surface once again, and that's the word immediately. It says, immediately the news about Jesus spread into all of the surrounding districts of Galilee. In other words, folks, this did not take several days. No, right then. I have to stop and imagine. What if social media was around in those days? What if they had cell phones? You would have seen everybody making selfies and posting. Get over here. You've got to see what's going on. No, the people right then who witnessed it, they went running to tell their family and friends. I mean, can you imagine these people on that day running into the streets and shouting, come and see. Come and see this one who's called Jesus. He speaks with passion. He speaks with conviction. And then an evil spirit just begged him for mercy. You got to come hear it. Come on. And so it went, people running to tell others all about it. And so the news quickly spread. Now remember, this was all still in the same day. And look at the next verse. After the news began to spread, verse 29, it says, now, as soon as they came out of the synagogue, in other words, immediately, they came to the house of Simon and Andrew, along with James and John. So they had just left the synagogue. This was all in one day. And we continue reading that they came into the home of Peter and Andrew and found Peter's mother-in-law was very sick with a high fever. Most likely she was very near even unto death. And then in verse 30 it says, they spoke to Jesus about her condition. How soon? How long did it take them to go consult with Jesus? It says, at once. They wasted no time in telling Jesus about it. And why not? I mean, look what had already happened in this same day. This situation would be no big deal, not for Jesus. They had the faith, so they told Jesus, and he goes over, and he takes her by the hand, and he raises her up. So the fever's gone. The problem is now solved. And again, remember, this was Peter's mother-in-law. I don't know if I should share this or not. I'm going to blame it on another pastor. I heard another pastor make a joke out of this one time. His name was Ron Cobb, if any of you want to look him up. Ronald Cobb. But he made a joke. He said, this proves that Jesus even cares about mother-in-laws. But, you know, nobody really laughed when he said it. So, anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that. But, listen, in all seriousness, Jesus did care about her because she was a person in need. And that's just the kind of thing that Jesus cares about, amen? So Jesus ministers unto her, and then she, in turn, begins to serve and wait upon them. And, you know, that's really how it should work, isn't it? Once Jesus Christ puts his healing touch upon our lives, may we in turn begin to serve the needs of others and minister unto others. But look on to verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. Now keep it in mind, again, everything we've read about so far has occurred on this same Sabbath day. But then verse 32 continues this story by saying, when evening came, when the sun had set. Now realize in these days, most people turned in when the sun went down. There wasn't much of a nightlife in Galilee 2,000 plus years ago. Once the sun had set, most people would begin to wind down and get ready to retire for the evening. But not on this night. Remember, the word about Jesus had spread. He had spoken and taught in the synagogue with a power and authority like the people had never experienced before. And then that evil spirit testified of him as being the Holy One of God. And then Jesus cast the spirit out. And then word about all this spread like wildfire. And what does Jesus do next? When he gets there into the house, he heals someone of a deadly illness right there in their home. And then soon to follow, here came the multitudes seeking after Jesus. There were people needing healing, both physically and spiritually. We don't think a large crowd gathered. Look at verse 33. It says the whole city was gathered at the door. That sounds like an exaggeration, doesn't it? But that's what's there in the verse. In verse 33, it tells us the entire town was at the door of Peter's house. And what does Jesus do? Did he say, folks, glad you're here, but it's late. We're all tired. Why don't you all come back tomorrow? No. In verse 34, it says that he healed them. He cured many diseases. He cast out more evil spirits. And considering that these people arrived after dark, we can only imagine how late it was now when Jesus finally laid down to rest for the evening. And that is one reason, my friends, that I find verse 35 to be so significant. I mean, verse 35 of Mark chapter 1 is substantial in and of itself. But what accentuates it is when we stop and consider the day that preceded it. Now, we began reading in verse 21 about the Sabbath day. And then as we continued on through verse 34, we see that all these other events occurred in this single day in the life of Jesus. I mean, think again about all that he had done. He preached and he taught in the synagogue. Then they traveled to Peter's house on foot. And then he healed Peter's mother-in-law when he got there. And in that same day, the entire city shows up at the door needing healing. So Jesus ministers unto each and every person in need. And I can just imagine there were many other occurrences not recorded from this same day that demanded the attention of Jesus. There were miracles to perform, more demons to cast out, possibly disputes to be settled, further lessons to be taught. We don't know when Jesus finally laid down, but we do see in verse 35 that early the next morning, early in the morning, while it was still dark, the text says, Jesus arose and he departed unto a place by himself. And he went there to pray. And you see, that is what strikes me so intensely regarding verse 35. Now, I've always admired the dedication to prayer that Jesus shows here in this verse. But let us also acknowledge that Jesus must have been overwhelmingly exhausted and yet still got up early to spend time with God. So now, am I saying that we all should get up early every single day just to pray? Well, not necessarily, because that schedule is a personal preference. We all have different schedules. Some of us are early risers, like my wife. Others are more late nighters, more like myself. But I think what time of day you choose to pray is a personal preference. But listen to me. The need to pray should not be a preference. That should be a priority for all of us. You know, in this day and time, we hear so much about being busy and about being tired. Well, guess what? Jesus was also. Go back and reread this chapter, Mark chapter 1, and then read the rest of the Gospels as well. Jesus was indeed overwhelmingly busy, and at the end of each day was likely tired and fatigued. Now, some people may want to ask, well, now, wait a minute, did Jesus actually grow weary and tired? Yes, I believe that he did. Do we as humans grow weak and tired? Of course we do. You might say, well, Jesus was God, was he not? Yes, he was. He was God in human flesh. But make note of that last part. In human flesh, he was God. He was also man. And listen to what Hebrews tells us. Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet," it says, "without sin." But after a day like he had here in Mark chapter 1, Jesus was physically weakened and he was tired. But the fact of his godliness does not diminish the reality of his humanity. Now I want you to think about this. Listen, as evidenced by his refusal to turn stones into bread to meet the need of his hunger, we know that Jesus never used his godly power as an unnatural way of escaping his physical vulnerability. Think about that. Jesus was indeed a man, and his physical body was subject to the same needs as is ours. And we read in Scripture of Jesus growing hungry. We read in Scripture of Jesus becoming thirsty. And with that, we can certainly conclude that he became tired on a regular basis. Now, why? Why do I bring all of this up? To emphasize that after an incredibly busy and draining day that consumed his time and efforts into the late hours of the night, Jesus still chose to arise very early and continue the practice of personal prayer that he was so accustomed to. And my friends, let's not mistakenly think that this was just a one-time occurrence. Now, we're told about it on this one occasion in this one verse, but I do truly believe that this act of arising early and going out to pray alone was a very frequent occurrence in the earthly life of Jesus. We see throughout the Gospels Jesus being in prayer. We see occasions of Jesus praying all night. But you know, the fact is us, in our human nature, will sometimes use any little excuse to not spend time in prayer. I mean, after a day like Jesus had, I can imagine many of us saying, well, I sure made up for it yesterday, ministering to all those people and working so hard, working so late. I'll just pray later. I'm too tired right now. I'm sure none of us have ever said something like that, right? Hand raised, guilty. But not Jesus. And folks, I know you know this already, but it is worth saying it. If Jesus felt that kind of dedication to prayer as a necessity, then how much more should we? In our weak and frail human condition, relentlessly onslaughted by the enemy and so vulnerable to temptation and to sin, how much more do we need that healing and that cleansing and that renewal of fellowship with God through prayer in our lives? In this one day in the life of Jesus that we've read about today, it was near the beginning of his earthly ministry. But we know that throughout all accounts of the Gospels, throughout the life of Jesus, most every day in Jesus' life was consumed with ministry and service. In fact, something else to quickly consider when we read about this prayer of Jesus. The amount of time that Jesus spent praying on this particular morning, it was more than just a couple of minutes. It was not casual and it was not brief. It was not what we might refer to as a token prayer. Now we know it was very early because not only did the verse tell us it was still dark, but apparently Jesus slipped out of the house before anybody knew that he was gone. Before everybody else had gotten up, Jesus left for his prayer time. No one knew where he was. In fact, we did not read this far earlier. But I want to look at just a few more verses, starting in verse 36. In fact, let me reread verse 35 one more time. That's our main verse. But this time I'm going to start with 35, not end with it. I want to start with it and read through verse 38. So just a few verses here. Again, verse 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Then continuing, verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They didn't know where he went. And when they finally found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Now, again, notice that Jesus slipped out early enough. No one knew he left the house. But then he stayed gone long enough that everyone began to wonder where he was. So, yeah, Jesus' prayer time, it was not quick or casual. And I am sort of paraphrasing just a little bit or reading into this, but it appears that when the disciples found him, they most likely encouraged him to come on back to the house. Notice how they said to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." But what was the reply of Jesus? He didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to come on back to the house and have some coffee." No, he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is the purpose for which I came." So what is Jesus saying? Jesus said, "People need me. That's why I am here. Now let's get going." And so they went. But not before Jesus spent earnest time in prayer. Listen, Jesus fervently prayed after an incredibly busy day and also before entering into the next one. And my point is not so much to emphasize that Jesus stayed busy and was tired by day's end. Yes, that part is true. But the thing I really want us to grasp is that in spite of the draining physical demands, in spite of the time constraints that Jesus faced, his priority for prayer never faltered. And what a testimony. What an example for us to follow. Church, let's follow his example. As individuals and as a church body, let's make prayer a top priority. And also, let's follow that example of ministry that we see. I mean, think about that. Jesus recognized that there were many people in the cities and towns that he was in and how they needed his touch upon their lives. Likewise, church, there are many people in the communities here around us, and they need the touch of Jesus upon their lives also. Let's pray that God gives us opportunities as a church to share Jesus and to minister Jesus unto those in our area who need him. And listen, I know our time today is gone, and yes, we are just about done. But speaking of people's need for Jesus, we know the ultimate purpose for which Jesus came was to make atonement for our sins through his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. Now, we didn't talk about that too much today, but I don't ever want to overlook it. I hope and pray that each of you here today know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Listen, if that is something that you've never settled, I do urge you to not let this moment pass without calling out unto him. Now, we're all sinners. We all need a Savior, and that is why God sent Jesus. And Jesus took the punishment for our sins so that you and I could be forgiven. I plead with you today, won't you receive? his offer of salvation. It means not only forgiveness from sin, but it means the assurance of eternal life for our souls in heaven when this earthly life is done. Listen, if you will just acknowledge that you are a sinner, and if you will just come before him with the sincere desire to repent and to be renewed, the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about that word, whosoever. That means each of you. Whosoever means you. Won't you call out unto him with a sincere heart? Just tell him that you know you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. Ask him to not only forgive your sin, but to help you turn away from that sin. That's what repentance is. It is a turning away from sin. Ask Jesus, invite him to come into your life, to be your Savior and to be your Lord. Savior meaning that he has redeemed you from sin, and Lord meaning that you now choose to follow after him. We're about to have a time of invitation in just a moment, in which I will invite you to come forward and pray to receive Jesus if you have never done so. But you know, perhaps also there may be someone listening later online to an online recording of this message. And let me just say that you don't have to be here in the church building to call out unto God. You just reach out unto him wherever you are. And I do pray that all of us have receptive hearts to our Lord right now. Let's go to him once again in prayer. Then we'll have our time of invitation. Our God and our Father, I'm so thankful for this day. And I'm so thankful for the privilege and opportunity not only to preach your word here in this pulpit, but for the opportunity together with this dear congregation and to worship our Lord together. What a privilege to be in your house. Father, again, I want to thank you for everyone who's present here in this place today. Father, I don't know the needs of everyone here, but you know the needs. Father, I don't believe anyone is here by accident, and I pray that you're speaking to people's hearts this morning. I pray that we would be receptive to you. Father, if there are people here today that you're dealing with their lives, whether it's about the need for salvation, or maybe it's the need just to rededicate lives and repent, Father, maybe it's just the burden to come forward and pray for this church. I pray, Father, that we would be receptive to you this morning in this time of invitation. And I humbly pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.